Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Nothing Like It in the World by Stephen E. Ambrose recounts the dramatic, high-stakes effort to build the first American transcontinental railroad between 1863 and 1869. Set against the upheaval of the Civil War and the turbulent years that followed, the book follows the rival companies, the Union Pacific pushing west from the Missouri River and the Central Pacific driving east from California, as they race toward a meeting point in the interior west. Ambrose highlights the mix of political ambition, financial risk, and engineering improvisation that powered the project, along with the harsh realities of frontier labor, weather, and terrain. The narrative places readers alongside surveyors, executives, and on-the-ground work crews, especially immigrant laborers whose endurance made the undertaking possible. Rather than treating the railroad as an abstract national achievement, the book frames it as a human story of leadership, conflict, and perseverance that helped reshape the United States economy, settlement patterns, and sense of continental identity. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a national project born of war, politics, and money, Ambrose portrays the Transcontinental Railroad as more than a transportation upgrade, presenting it as a political and strategic mission shaped by Civil War realities and federal priorities. The government wanted an all-weather link between the Mississippi Valley and the Pacific that would strengthen national unity, speed communication, and support military logistics. That ambition translated into legislation, subsidies, and land grants that made private construction feasible on an unprecedented scale. The book emphasizes how financing structures influence decision-making, including the constant pressure to lay track quickly to claim payments and territory. Ambrose also explores the role of influential backers and the ways lobbying and competition shaped routes, supply contracts, and the choice of terminus points. In this telling, the railroad becomes a case study in how American infrastructure often emerges from a blend of public purpose and private incentive. Readers see how visionary goals collided with opportunism and how the messy realities of politics still produced a transformative result. The project's scale forced the nation to test new forms of coordination between Washington, investors, and managers on the frontier, setting patterns that later large public works would follow. Secondly, engineering the impossible across plains, deserts, and mountains. A central theme is the practical ingenuity required to build a railroad over vast distances with limited local resources and constant uncertainty. Ambrose describes surveying challenges, route selection, bridge building, grading, and the relentless need to keep materials moving to the end of track. The terrain dictated different problems for each company. The Union Pacific faced long supply lines and river crossings on the plains, while the Central Pacific confronted the Sierra Nevada and extreme winter conditions. The story highlights how construction methods evolved under pressure, from organizing large track laying crews to solving bottlenecks in timber, iron, and tools. Weather and geography were not background details, but active forces that slowed schedules, damaged work sites, and demanded improvisation. Ambrose gives attention to leadership decisions that balance speed with safety and durability, showing how managers learn to build infrastructure at industrial pace in remote settings. The result is a vivid look at 19th-century engineering as a mixture of planning and trial, where progress depended on constant problem-solving and the ability to mobilize people, equipment, and supplies faster than the environment could break them down. Thirdly, labor, immigration, and the human cost of building the line. Ambrose foregrounds the labor force as the true engine of the railroad and examines how the project relied on large numbers of workers who endured dangerous conditions. The Central Pacific's workforce is closely associated with Chinese immigrants who took on the most grueling tasks in the mountains, while the Union Pacific depended heavily on Irish immigrants, Civil War veterans, and other laborers moving west. The book describes a world of camps, shifting crews, hard physical work, and constant exposure to accidents, disease, and extreme temperatures. It also considers how race, class, and prejudice shaped pay, job assignments, and public recognition, even as immigrant labor proved indispensable. Readers gain a sense of how wages, recruitment, and retention worked on the frontier, and how management strategies sought to keep production steady despite fatigue, injury, or conflict. By focusing on the workers' experience, Ambrose underscores that the celebrated national achievement rested on the daily discipline and endurance of people who often left few written records. This perspective deepens the history by linking a monumental engineering triumph to personal struggle, resilience, and sacrifice. Fourthly, conflict on the frontier, lawlessness, violence, and competition, the railroad advanced through regions marked by instability, and Ambrose presents the frontier as both opportunity and hazard. As the Union Pacific track moved west, temporary towns sprang up and disappeared, bringing gambling, drinking, crime, and a volatile social order that often outran formal law enforcement. The book also addresses tensions and violence tied to the railroad's presence, including clashes that emerged from rapid encroachment on native lands and the broader pattern of displacement that followed. In addition to social conflict, corporate rivalry drove a competitive atmosphere where speed mattered as much as engineering. The companies measured progress in miles of track laid, and ambition could encourage risky choices, inflated claims, and corner-cutting. Ambrose uses these pressures to show how mega-projects can create their own ecosystems of conflict, where money, uncertainty, and weak institutions amplify disorder. Yet he also illustrates how the railroad gradually brought more structured governance, commerce, and communication, even as it accelerated the transformation of the West. The topic highlights a paradox. The same project that depended on frontier conditions also helped end them by knitting distant regions into a single economic and administrative network. Lastly, The Golden Spike and the Lasting Transformation of the United States, Ambrose treats the completion of the railroad as both a symbolic event and a turning point with long-term consequences. The meeting of the rails created a continuous corridor that changed travel time, reshaped freight economics, and made national markets more integrated. The book explains how the railroad enabled faster settlement, encouraged resource extraction, and connected agriculture and industry across regions. It also explores how the project altered perceptions of distance and national identity, making the continent feel more accessible and reinforcing the idea of a unified nation spanning ocean to ocean. Ambrose does not present the outcome as purely celebratory, noting that rapid expansion also intensified the displacement of native communities and accelerated environmental and social change. The completion ceremony becomes a lens for understanding American progress narratives and what they leave out. Readers see how the railroad's success influenced later infrastructure dreams and corporate power, and how it became a model for what coordinated capital, government support, and organized labor could achieve. By tracing the post-completion implications, the book links a single construction race to broader themes of modernization, inequality, and the remaking of the American West. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who enjoy narrative history, American West studies, Civil War era context, or stories of large-scale engineering and business rivalry. It also fits readers who want to understand how national infrastructure emerges from a blend of vision, government policy, financing, and relentless on-the-ground labor. The main benefit is perspective. The Transcontinental Railroad is often reduced to a date and a ceremony, but Ambrose emphasizes the complicated human system behind it, including leaders making high-pressure decisions, workers confronting daily danger, and communities transformed in the wake of new transportation links. That broader view can sharpen how readers think about modern projects, from logistics networks to public works, by revealing recurring patterns of incentives, risk, and unintended consequences. Compared to more technical railroad histories, this book is frequently valued for pace and accessibility, keeping the story focused on people and turning points while still conveying the scale of the undertaking. For buyers choosing among similar titles, its advantage is a clear narrative drive paired with enough context to connect the railroad to national politics, immigration, and the reshaping of the American landscape. If you would like to support Stephen E. Ambrose, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.